Fantastic, thank you. And I'll hand it over to Michael to share his strength and experience, hope and experience with us for about 20 minutes to half an hour. And the meeting is yours, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you, Hilmarie, and thank you all those who make this meeting possible. And grateful, I'm a grateful addict in recovery. My name is Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Hi,
Hello.
Michael.
Hello.
Hi, Michael.
Usually I get a little jittery about sharing my experience, strength, and hope at the best of times at regular meetings, but this particular meeting is special to me, and I really am really nervous. So if you can indulge me and just let me read the Just for Today reading, because it was so profound today. And that is gratitude. Hopeless living problems have become joyously changed. Our disease has been arrested. Now anything's possible. Basic text, page 106. The NA program has given us more freedom than every dream possible. Sometimes, though, in the daily routine, we lose track of how much we've been given, how our lives have changed in Narcotics Anonymous. The bottom line of recovery, of course, is freedom from the compulsion to use. No longer must we devote all our resources in feeding our addiction. No longer must we endanger, humiliate, or abuse ourselves or others just to get the next fix. Abstinence itself has brought us great freedom in our lives. Narcotics Anonymous has given us much more than simple abstinence. It's given us a whole new life. We've taken our inventories and we have identified our defects of character that bound us for so long, keeping us from living and enjoying life. We surrendered those shortcomings, taking those responsibilities for them, sought the direction and power we need to live differently. Our home group has given us personal warmth and support that helps us continue living in recovery. And topping all this off, we have the love, the care, the guidance of a higher power we have come to understand in Narcotics Anonymous. In the course of day-to-day recovery, we sometimes forget how much our lives have changed in Narcotics Anonymous. Do we appreciate what this program has given us? Yes. Just for today, my recovery has given me freedom. I will greet the day with hope, grateful that anything's possible today. Thank you for indulging me for reading that. And like I said, I'm a little nervous to speak at this meeting. And basically, I think it is, I don't have any, I don't think of myself as mentally ill, but I probably am, or I have any issues that would be profoundly affecting this group. I don't have, I have all my digits. I not had any thing that would cons any. I could just say a lot of things would preclude me from this meeting, except the fact that the people in this meeting are people in recovery and recovering addicts who I've learned to love and respect and listen to and understand. I was thinking to myself for the last, I mean, when Hilmarie asked me to speak, I was trying to think of what am I going to say at this meeting that connect that to make this connection with the people in this meeting. And then I just thought of the times that, when I was in my disease, how much damage I did. And in a very funny way, this is an amends to I make to my I'm making to my mother to help other people who've gone through a lot worse than I have. And I put worse in air quotes, by the way, because my mother had breast cancer, she had a stroke. And for years upon years, I felt this incredible sense of guilt because of my disease taking, I would go for days picking up her medication and gone for days on my dog. and not be home for 2 or 3 days, I would have her medication in my pocket and think to myself, I should be home by now, not doing it because my disease is over. So in a very funny way, I'm sorry, Cassie, could you mind muting yourself, please? I'm drawn to, you know, the thing is that so this is a living amends to me in a very fundamental way, because luckily before she died in 2006, I made amends to her. And the only thing I could give her that proved that I was sincere about my amends is my 17-year medallion. I think it was 17, I can't remember. But it was one of my medallions. I told her, you keep this. This is what this program's given me, I told her. And I know she died with the peace to know that I was okay. I think that's what she always wanted, but still that thought that kind of permeates in my head that my addiction took over. And I just wanted to know that she was okay. That was it. And that was, you know, and to know that I was, and you know, in a funny way, she's always forgiven me, but I just couldn't forgive myself, which is one of the things I've learned from this program, is to learn to forgive myself. You know, just before, prior to this meeting, I was listening to a song, and it was called Moving On Up it was originally released by Primal Scream, for those who are not in that genre of music. And the first line goes, I was blind, now I can see. You made a believer out of me. I was blind, now I can see. You made a believer out of me. I'm moving on up out of the darkness. My light shines on. My light shines on. And thanks to this program and the people in this program, I get a chance to have this new life and the gratitude and this new life. And the way I practice this program to the best of my willingness and ability is through the service I do. And when I'm kind of fast track, because I'm not going to tell you, if you guys don't know how to use by now, you're not going to learn anything new from me. But one of the things I remember was I was 6 years clean, and I moved to San Francisco in 1994. And for anybody who remembers late 80s and early 90s, that's when the AIDS epidemic was rampant. And in San Francisco, it was totally, it was unbelievable. I would go to meetings there, and the memory that I have was that every meeting I went to, somebody died. Somebody died who died clean, but of AIDS, of HIV related causes. Now that when I look back, that's what they died of, not AIDS itself, but the causes, some of the issues behind it. And some of the people who kept coming to meetings had been diagnosed with HIV. And here's the thing. As much activity that I did, the shit that I pulled off and all that, I do not know how the hell I do not have HIV today. And both in and out of recovery, let me just tell you that. You know, the difficulty was to watch people kind of who had HIV and give as much support as I possibly can. I can't even count how many people I got to know, got close to, and passed on to Greener Pastures. But there was a whole handful of people in those rooms who taught me the value of life and how to live. And with their condition. And by the way, another one that was Hep C, that was become real rampant. One of my sponsors died of having Hep C because she was waiting for a liver transplant. And she died the day before she could have gotten her liver transplant. So it was, but we were there holding her hand. We were there holding each other's hands. Because we did not know whether or not who would be the next person or if they were going to be the next person. You know, in the last few years of before I moved to Scotland, I lived with somebody with HIV. And he'd gone through a lot of downfalls. And the last few years of his last few years, I mean, one of the things was he was one of my pillars when I was going through my worst crises. He was that person that taught me the value of what this program gave to me. He helped me find the courage to do the things I needed to do. He gave me the reason to keep going when I felt like I didn't want to go any further. He just told me, you know, and when I was up against it so many times that I wanted to use, and the surprise fact that I didn't use it, I hold this down to the members of Narcotics Anonymous, who reminded me that I may not be well, but I'll be damned if I'm going to die unhappy. And I'm going to live as much as I possibly can until I have to go. And the great news is a lot of people in San Francisco got on this new medication that actually helped them survive a few more years, and in some cases, a few more decades. There are some people that I know that have been on that medication for the past 20 years and still alive and still kicking and still clean and still doing what they need to do. And those people, you know, and this, what they taught me was you keep going no matter what shit's going down in your life. And I apologize for my foul language for those who are very sensitive to things like that. I just suggest call your sponsor. Because of what the people in this, San Francisco, and of course the people here on Higna. I've been coming off and on to the Higna group online meetings for the past, I just realized this, more than 7 years. Give or take a few years, but I just hear nothing but strength coming from everybody in these meetings. And the reason why I love this particular meeting is because each and every one of you are survivors. Each and one of you taught me how to survive my emotions, my feelings, whatever's going on in my life. I can get through this. Whatever ailments that, you know, I can get freaked out when I get a cold, but you know what, that, you know, it's just a cold. Some people, you know, what you guys remind me is you battled a lot bigger demons and bigger adversaries. And one of the things that I realize is if they can battle this adversary, what the fuck am I getting all bent out of shape over a freaking cold for? And getting back to the Just for Today reading, the gratitude I have for coming to this meeting specifically is the fact that each and every one of you played a massive part to getting me to my 35 years in one way or another. by showing me your unbridled strength, by your courage to face whatever's going on. And what, you know, what is that great line that I heard somebody say at a convention once? Difficulties are meant to be overcome, and difficult and impossible takes a few minutes longer, and a few moments longer. And sometimes that I think people would get loaded over, you stay clean through. You know, I keep hearing this, you know, in some cases I hear a couple of people's stories in my head when I'm at work. And it reminds me, I should be grateful I have a job. I may not like my job very much. I mean, I don't hate it, but I don't love it. But I do it because it's a service to the general public. It's a service to me to keep clean, you know, because I'm powerless over what happens at work. I'm powerless on a daily basis at that job. And one of the things is, I get the chance to turn it over every chance I can and make a decision to just let this, whatever source of strength that I have, that, and your, sometimes your voice is ringing in my head, just like, keep going despite whatever's going on. Keep going. Don't let this get to you. Don't let this get to you. It's like tomorrow's a different day, and you know what? You can start all over. You can even start over right now if you want to. You know, and that's been the basis of all my recovery. It's been about learning to start over right then and there. You know, one of our great members always says, "What time is it?" And it's now. And I have to remember, right now is what's going on. I'm alive now. I'm not dead yet. I don't have, you know, and if I keep on this trajectory, I could probably live a few more years. I could probably do more things. Because of this program, I couldn't, you know, if it wasn't for the encouragement of all those people, I wouldn't be living in Scotland. I remember there were times when and I do apologize, I'm going back and forth, but I don't feel that a linear share is necessary in this regard. I remember when I first moved to San Francisco, I mean, just prior to moving to San Francisco, everybody asked me, why are you going? Are you running away or are you running too? My old sponsor asked me that. And I said, well, to be honest with you, both. I'm running away from my past and, well, a lot of other things, but basically I was just running away because I just couldn't handle being there anymore. And I had a great opportunity and I thought, you know what? That's a good enough reason to go. And I went to San Francisco, and as I told you about that story, and it was that, and it was those very same people who gave me the strength to make that decision. Do you really want? If you have an opportunity, and you think of all, you know, if you make all this, you know, as I did a miniature 4-step on it and a micro, and a, probably a big 10-step on it. Why am I coming to Scotland? What, you know, I met this fantastic person, by the way, a few years ago, a little over 16 years ago, about the same time my mother died, just before my mother died. And I just thought he was fascinating. And I just kind of got very obsessed with him. So still, let's say at least, came back and forth to Scotland until finally made a decision to move here. And to be truthfully honest, I was doing the same thing I did when I left San Francisco. I was running from and running to. But this time, as we say, is different. Because I was looking, because I found something that was more powerful than me. I found a power greater than myself. Let's call the fellowship. And they their encouragement and belief in me, because I was mentally not believing in myself, but they took to help me believe in myself long enough to make that decision. And that's how come I moved here. It brings me up to date to now, coming to this group, and why I started coming to this group, because it was on Higna, and I started coming to this group listening to the stories about how people were going about their lives, how their daily lives, with this addendum, because when I was living in San Francisco, there were a lot of people with mental illness and a lot of people with other issues besides HIV and Hep C. They had cancer. And they had to deal with all that, deal with all those issues. They had to deal with the addiction on top of the issue, the health issues. And there was this real massive backlash over whether somebody should take this medication or that medication, or this medication or that medication. And I'm reminded every single time I had a sponsee once who was going through that very same problem. They were going through, they didn't want to take the medication they took. And I gave them, gave them some advice and told them the story of how I got a tooth extraction and the only thing they could give me was codeine. And I took it and I really hated it. And by the time I took it as prescribed. And when I told them that, and when you take things as prescribed by a doctor and not take two or three because you're having a feeling, then it's fine. And it does state in our basic text that we take our health issues to doctors. Don't try, I could self-examine myself and say, I'm fine, and something else could be wrong. And I found out there was a few things wrong, I'll get over this toothache, and it turned out that it needed to be extracted. That was one of the gimmies in that basic text. It's like, you take your shit to a doctor. Don't try to self-examine yourself. The only alphabet soup at the end of my name is poor, PhD, poor, helpless drug addict. That's about it. So I did take my stuff to there. And one of my trusted friends at the time, my partner, helped me dump those drugs because I didn't want them hanging around the house. I was just too much of a temptation. I didn't want them around. I took the amount I needed. I got through that. And it was fine. And I had a real issue with that. And then the people who've had experience with that taught me that that experience was, it was a valid reason to take that. You don't have to beat yourself up by taking just a minimum amount of medication to get you through that. And when my sponsees asked about that, and some did, and I told them, look, I'm not a doctor. Go talk to your physician. Stop listening to a whole bunch of addicts who don't know any better. Unless they've had that experience, because one of the things my old sponsor taught me is don't listen to people's opinions, listen to people's experiences. Which is one of the reasons why I come back to this meeting. I'm not listening to your opinion, what you need to do, what you have, what you think I should do, or what somebody had to do. I come back because I hear experiences of how you guys deal with those issues. Because my best thinking will will get me in all sorts of trouble, but what I found from other people, because one of the things is, it does say that in our literature, we share our experience, strength, and hope, not our opinion, strength, and hope. If this program was about opinions, I'm full of loads of opinions. But I find that I told one of my sponsees who was going through some stuff that the experience of others have much more weight and value than any opinion under the sun. You know, ask somebody who had that experience and see what they did. You don't have to do exactly what they did, but you have to listen to their experience. And you know what? Their experience will teach you how to do, will answer your question. And that's what someone told me a long time ago. The experience of others of staying clean, going through stuff. Because when you stay clean long enough, I've been clean for 35 years. I've gone through a breakup, a nasty breakup. I've gone through a big old move. I lost both my parents in recovery. I lost a couple of jobs clean because of my behavior, which I had to correct and I had to make amends for, you know. But I didn't have to pick up and use over any of those things. And that's one of the gifts of this program. It taught me I didn't have to get loaded over any degree of anything. And people around here who's had previous experience, including health issues, including surviving surgeries, including all those other things, taught me that you can stay clean through anything. And that's a gift. And the gift of experience, no matter how you slice it, has more weight and value to me. I don't know about anyone else, but to me, than someone's opinion of what they think you should do. You know, okay, yeah, I'll see a doctor. And, you know, because other people have seen a doctor over things. Okay, I will talk to somebody about this because other people experience this very same thing. My partner isn't in recovery, so he doesn't quite understand all this stuff that we have to do. And I try to explain it to him, and it goes over his head. Considering he's short, anything goes over his head. But just a bit of humor there, sorry. But so to explain to the non-addict, there was a great teacher at the convention, the European convention I saw, and it had this absolute ridiculous mathematical equation on there. And it said, this is how you explain to a non-addict what Narcotics Anonymous is about. And basically, that's what it summed up. And I wanted to get that t-shirt, but I told myself buying merchandise. But that's neither here or there. The point, the one beauty of other people's experience here and the gratitude you guys have taught me is the fact that you can get through this. Whatever it is, you can get through it. You can walk. You know, you're not running through it, you're walking through it. And you're not walking alone, we have each other to get us through this. We do not, you know, NA, never alone. And you know what? Whatever is going on in my life, I'm never alone. I'm just a phone call away, a text away, a meeting away from finding a solution. I don't have to live in my shit anymore. It may take a few meetings, it may take a few phone calls, it may take a few texts, but I get through it, and I have. And, you know, the great news is I didn't have to pick up over any crisis, no matter what it was, no matter how small, like a cold or COVID or anything like that, or as huge as losing my keys or misplacing my phone. It's the little stuff that gets you. It's not the big stuff. And that's another thing I learned. So I prattled on long enough. I want to hear you guys' experience, strength, and hope because you guys are my experience, strength, and hope. And because I learn more than I can teach. That was one thing my mother taught me, who was a teacher. And it's like the beauty of being a teacher is you teach them what you know, but they teach you what you don't. And so a teacher is always a student. And that's one lesson I learned from my mother, and that's one of the things I had to make amends, how I keep my living amends with my mother, is be a perpetual student in this program. So I hope I made sense, and if I didn't, keep coming back. Maybe somebody will tell you something that will make sense to you. I love you all. I love coming to this meeting, and I'm grateful to be clean, and I'm grateful that you are all here. Thank you for allowing me to share.